NYC Stories Podcast presents.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dave, and this is the AIC Stories Podcast, as you just heard. I have a very, very short story for you this week on the faded words side of things. And I know I mentioned last time that I was going to start releasing longer form episodes, reading through novels and novellas, and we're going to do that. I have something in the works right now. I'm just finishing up. But because there is so much going on right now with the episodes and timing of everything, I decided before we dive into that longer form one, I'm going to give just one more real short story here and give you a chance to get caught up, although that's not to indicate anything towards this story not being good. This is something I really, really enjoyed when I read it, although it is very short. So let's get to today's episode, today's issue. I kind of like the idea of calling them issues. We're going to be looking at a story here that's a bit of a fairy tale. And I don't know any other way to put it. It's a fairy tale from Hans Christian Andersen. Very short, but gives you a lot to think about in the end. Before we get to that, just want to remind you guys, jump over to AICstories.com if you want to keep up with everything going on in the AIC Stories universe, be it show notes to book reviews, film reviews, all of the links you need as far as where to listen, find me on social media, and of course, the links to support AIC Stories financially via Buy Me a Coffee if you so choose and are able. I'd very much appreciate it. Anyways, this entry into the audio vault, this issue, is Faded Words number 56. Yes, number 56. It's a story called The Dumb Book, and it's by, like I said, Hans Christian Andersen. Let's get to it right now. In the high road which led through a wood stood a solitary farmhouse. The road, in fact, ran straight through its yard. The sun was shining and all the windows were open. Within the house, people were very busy, and in the yard, in an arbor formed by lilac bushes in full bloom, stood an open coffin. Thither they had carried a dead man, who was to be buried that very afternoon. Nobody shed a tear over him. His face was covered over with a white cloth. Under his head they had placed a large, thick book, the leaves of which consisted of folded sheets of blotting paper and withered flowers lay between them. It was the herbarium which he had gathered in various places and was to be buried with him, according to his own wish. Every one of the flowers in it was connected with some chapter of his life. "Who is the dead man?" we asked. "The old student," was the reply. "They say that he was once an energetic young man, that he studied the dead languages and sang and even composed many songs. Then something had happened to him. In consequence of this, he gave himself up to drink, body and mind. When at last he had ruined his health, they brought him into the country, where someone paid for his board and residence. He was gentle as a child as long as the sullen mood did not come over him. But when it came, he was fierce, became strong as a giant, and ran about in the woods like a chased deer. But when we succeeded in bringing him home and prevailed upon him to open the book with the dried up plants in it, he would sometimes sit for the whole day looking at this or that plant, while frequently the tears rolled over his cheeks. God only knows what was in his mind, but he requested us to put the book into his coffin, and now he lies there. In a little while the lid will be placed upon the coffin, and he will have sweet rest in the grave." The cloth which covered his face was lifted up. The dead man's face expressed peace. A sunbeam fell upon it, and a swallow flew with the swiftness of an arrow into the arbor, turning in its flight and twittered over the dead man's head. What a strange feeling it is. Surely we all know it. To look through old letters of our younger days. A different life rises up out of the past, as it were, with all of its hopes and sorrows. How many of the people with whom, in those days, we used to be on intimate terms, appear to us as if dead, and yet they are still alive, only we have not thought of them for such a long time. Whom we imagined we should retain in our memories forever, and share every joy and sorrow with them. The withered oak leaf in the book here recalled the friend, the schoolfellow, who was to be his friend for life. He fixed the leaf to the student's cap in the green wood when they vowed eternal friendship. But where does he dwell now? The leaf is kept, but the friendship no longer exists. Here is a foreign hothouse plant, too tender for the gardens of the north. It is almost as if the leaves still smelled sweet. She gave it to him out of her own garden, a nobleman's daughter. Here is a water lily that he had plucked himself and watered with salt tears, a lily of sweet water. And here is a nettle. What may its leaves tell us? What might he have thought when he plucked and kept it? Here is a little snowdrop out of the solitary wood. Here is an evergreen from the flower pot at the tavern, and here is a simple blade of grass. The lilac bends its fresh, fragrant flowers over the dead man's head now. The swallow passes again, twittering above him. Now the men come in with hammer and nails, and the lid is placed over the dead man while his head rests on the dumb book, so long cherished, now closed forever.